Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. For just a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider the life of Joseph and some lessons from him. Before we get into the lesson, I want to add my welcome. It's good to see everyone here. It's good, Deborah, to have you visiting with us today. And also, there are sometimes with songs, things that we associate them with. And as I've mentioned before, that song we just sang, "There's Sunshine in My Soul," that's one that was sung at my father's funeral. And that's, to me, a very sweet song to know that if we are in the Lord and we die, we can have sunshine in our soul. There are many lessons that we can learn from Joseph that will help us through our life. One of the first things I want us to consider is that our family does not determine our destiny. So many times people bring up their family, they use it to brag about them and their position, or they use it in the opposite way. Well, I'm this way because of my family. My family made me this way. There's a couple passages I want us to look at. And with the first one, so Jacob, his daughter, got tired of being around family one day, and she wanted to go out and go exploring. She went out, and when she went out, there was a man that saw her. He saw her, and she was very beautiful, and he wanted to take her. He took her by force. He was in love with her. He wanted to marry her. When Jacob's daughter comes back and she tells her father the situation, two of her brothers are there and are listening to what's going on. And they go back and they tell this man, "If you want to marry our sister, we can't let you marry her unless you become like us and become circumcised." Genesis 34:25. Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. So Simeon and Levi said, "If you want to marry our sister, you and all the men in the city have to be circumcised." They killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, their oxen, their donkeys that was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth, all their little ones, their wives they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves against me and kill them. I shall be destroyed by my household." One of the translations says that they made him his name odious. They made his name stink among the nations because of what Joseph's brothers had done by telling this man, this king, that he had to be circumcised and all the men in the city, and then they go in and slay every man when they are in pain and take everything that was in the city. That's the kind of family that Joseph grew up. And in Genesis 37 and verse 3, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he also made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So not only were his brothers very mean, to say the least, Joseph was the favorite child, and this created jealousy, and his brothers hated him. Have you ever blamed your family on how your life has turned out? Just stop and consider Joseph. His father had four different wives. He grew up in an environment of jealousy, favoritism, envy. His brothers hated him. They wanted to kill him. They were planning on doing that. The plan changed and they sold him to some Ishmaelites. Your father Jacob said Joseph's brothers made his name stink among the other nations. But Joseph did not use his family as an excuse, and neither should we. And Joseph, when you read through the Bible, Joseph is one of the few people that you cannot find a record of any sin. That does not to say that he never sinned, but he is one of the few people that you do not have recorded any sin. Daniel is another such person. Consider individual responsibility and choice. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So you see, our circumstances don't determine what we are as much as our thoughts and our attitudes. You can put two people in the exact same situation, and you're going to have a different outcome because of their thoughts and attitudes. Individual responsibility. Responsibility, what does that mean? You look at the word, it's the ability to respond. Responsibility is the ability to choose the correct response. When someone is very young and they do something, well, we say they aren't responsible for their actions. They don't understand right and wrong. Responsibility, the ability to choose the correct response. That includes our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes. And Joseph realized that he had to control his feelings. And so do we. Our feelings, they are out of control if we let them get out of control. But God has given us control over our bodies. And we can't let anybody make us feel any other way than we choose to. And a lot of people disagree with that. They'll say, you made me feel this way, you made me feel that way. Well, if they could have control over us with our feelings, then they could have control over any and everything that we do. Think about that and let it sink in. You can't make me feel any way that I don't allow you to think. If you can, then this is what we are. We're just a little puppet and somebody else is pulling the strings. One day somebody will make us feel happy. Another day somebody will make us feel sad. And friends, that's no way to live. Individual responsibility and choice. That's a good lesson we need to learn from Joseph. We also need to learn from Joseph the concern that he had for evil. In Genesis 37 and verse 2, this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Joseph could have gone back to his father and said, "Everything's okay, Dad. You don't need to worry about him." He could have made up something. He could have said what they were doing right and left out what they were doing wrong. But that was not his makeup. he brought a bad report of them to his father. We need to have this concern for evil in talking with others. We don't need to be mean to people, but we also need to realize that silence gives approval. If we don't say anything about something, and how many times have you seen, maybe in a congregation, there was something that was going on that was a sin, and nobody spoke about it. The preacher didn't talk about it. The elders didn't address it. And friends, if you don't address it, your silence gives approval. Do we keep quiet about wrong, or do we speak out against it? And again, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. You wouldn't stand up here in front of the auditorium and just call out everything wrong that everybody's doing. You might want to take them aside and say, can I talk to you about this? But we need to learn, if we don't do that at all, we need to learn to speak out against evil and against wrong. Because if we don't learn to speak out about it, what's going to happen? That evil and wickedness is going to grow and increase. I had a buddy a number of years ago, and he was talking to me about having a family, and he said, you know, Bruce, I just don't know if it would be good to bring children into the world the way it is right now. And I said, that's the very reason you need to bring children into the world right now. God wants us to raise up godly offspring so godly offspring can have a positive influence on the evil in the world. If we're quiet, if we keep our mouths shut and just sit down, we know evil is going to take over. Joseph didn't let that happen. Do we talk to people in sin or keep our mouths shut and let them keep going down the road to hell? You think about purity and the life of Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what it is with me in the house, and he's committed all things that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. You think about the purity of Joseph. He is one of the best examples that I can think of. He was in a foreign land. Nobody would have known if he committed this sin. He didn't think his family cared about him. He knew his brothers didn't care about him. And he probably wondered, all the time that he was in Egypt, you stop and think about it, he'd have to have in the back of his mind, why hasn't my father come and found me? My father's a rich and powerful man. Why hasn't he come and sought me out and rescued me? We know the answer to that. It's because his brothers had lied to their father and told their father that a wild animal killed him. So Joseph is all alone. Nobody is going to know if he committed this sin. And her persistence, day after day after eye, with these longing eyes, lie with me, lie with me. But Joseph doesn't do it. He left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He faced a lot of temptation. Friends, we need to learn the lesson of purity. We need to keep the world out so that we do not become contaminated. If I held up my bottle of water and moved it around and you saw all kinds of things that was floating in there. You see, that's not pure water. There's something mixed in with it. And see, we live in this world, but we cannot let the world be mixed into our lives. We are personal ambassadors for the King of Kings. We represent Christ every day. Jesus, just stop and think about this. The Son of God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we are his personal ambassadors with everyone that we come in contact with during the day. How do we treat them? How do we talk to them? And as I've said before, when you talk to somebody that's a stranger, you ought to make sure that when they're at home talking with someone else or talking with someone else about meeting you, that they say, and that person that I met, they were the nicest person, where you leave an impression on them. I remember one time a member was calling about some work that was done around calling a government number, and the person was saying they chewed them up one side and down the other side to make sure they got the work done. And I didn't say it, but I was thinking, and did you invite them to come to services? What kind of presence are we showing the community? We need to live pure lives. And if we say one thing and do something else, people are going to see that we're hypocrites. We need to flee sin like Joseph did. Too many times we want to see how close we can get to it, how long we can stay around it. Remember, we have responsibility. We have the ability to respond. We need to make the right choice like Joseph and flee. Well, we need to do what is right, not what is popular. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do what is right, not what is popular. How do we do that? You see, Joseph, he had a moral compass, and we have one today too. It's our Bible. He had a moral compass. He had pressure to do wrong, but he didn't do it. He was rejected by his family. He had every excuse to use for going along and doing something wrong. He was away from home. He was living in an immoral and idolatrous land. Things that people would have tempted him to do would have been what everybody else was doing. It's like the land that we're living in today. Anything goes. And people don't understand, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? We need to learn from Joseph that sin is against God. Back to Genesis 39:9. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So Joseph knew it was wrong to take Potiphar's wife, not because she was Potiphar's wife, but because it was a sin against God. And how did Joseph know this was wrong? The Ten Commandments hadn't been written yet. Joseph didn't hear the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus teaching about this. How did Joseph know this was wrong? He knew it was wrong because the marriage law goes all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to Genesis, one man, one woman. And he knew it was wrong, God's law. And the good thing is, his parents had instilled that in his mind so that when he was in this situation, he would choose to do the right thing. So there's another lesson there for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We need to be instilling in them right and wrong, and that sin is sin against God. But you hear people say, you lied to me, you hurt me, you offended me. you sinned against me. And we understand that the person is hurt, but we did not come up with the law. We did not come up with the commandment. Joseph realized he was not the center of the universe. It goes back to God. Joseph recognized we have no laws. God only is the one that has a law, and we are to obey that. And Joseph recognized that all men are under God's law. How did he recognize this? Again, it would have been by the teaching of his parents. And we shouldn't put ourselves in God's place and say, you wronged me. We understand we do wrong things that affect other people, but we need to understand God's law. God's law is what we want to keep. Well, from Joseph, we learned to dress appropriately. Genesis 41:14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Joseph was taught some good manners and taught some good right and wrong things when he was growing up. We live in a world that is very casual, but we need to learn to dress appropriately. Our appearance is important. We need to dress for the occasion, and we show honor and respect by how we prepare and present ourselves. Joseph, you see a lot of churches today, they'll have signs out, come as you are. People will talk about, oh yeah, you can wear anything and go there. But Joseph teaches us that our appearance preaches a lesson to others. And what is our sermon, our dress, teaching them? Years ago, when I worked at an office over in Richmond, and it was a very good company, and I worked in this one section where there were the president was there and the vice president and several other people in this small office building. But we had to dress up every day. We didn't wear ties, but we couldn't wear blue jeans. But we could on Friday. They called that casual Friday. You didn't have to dress up, but they were instilling in us a sense, you're representing the company. We don't want you looking, you know, just like you came in from playing baseball or something. You're representing the company. And when you dress up, too, you think differently. What are the guidelines? It's going to change from time to time, from culture to culture, from society to society. But we recognize in whatever culture and time we are, something that is appropriate and something that is inappropriate. And Joseph recognized before he went before Pharaoh, he needed to shave and clean up and put on some new clothes. What do we do when we come together in the assembly with other Christians and before God? Again, I'm not saying there's a set uniform to wear, but we need to recognize our presence and what we are reflecting to others. We can learn suffering from the life of Joseph. Suffering to endure, affliction to bear up under. You know, I have never been plotted against to be killed like Joseph was. I was never thrown into a pit to be murdered by my brothers. My brothers did tie me down on a picnic table one time when we were traveling. I was the youngest. It's like, I use this as an excuse, you know, older brothers always pick on younger brothers. But I've never been had to suffer like Joseph. I've never been sold into slavery. I've never been falsely accused and thrown into prison. I've never been separated from my family for over 20 years. But then what do I do? I'll moan and complain and, oh, you don't know all the suffering that I have to go through. Friends, most of us have not gone through the suffering that we read about these characters in the Bible. We need to learn from Joseph to save during the days of plenty. And save is a word today that's almost become obsolete. You ask young kids about that, and it's like a foreign word. They look at you like they don't understand what you're talking about. Genesis 41:33, "Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man. Let him set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine." So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Friends, this is good advice today. Do we save? Do we set something back for bad times? Bad times are coming just as sure as good times. It's just a matter of when. And again, today, you see, I wouldn't say just young people, but old people too. They don't save. They don't have just one credit card. They have a number of credit cards. They'll max out their credit cards. Basically, they're in debt. They're a slave to debt the rest of their lives. And this very simple lesson from Joseph is something that we need to learn and practice, teach our friends and family. You need to set something back. You need to set something back. When those bad times come along, what are you going to have? And they are coming. Number 10, men need to express their feelings to their family. You know, I've seen growing up the swing from one extreme to the other. A lot of us had relatives from the Depression era, relatives World War II era, where men were very staunch and strict and disciplined. And you see in society now where you see men calling themselves women and wearing dresses in the military. It's trying to destroy the family, but still there's something about the makeup of a man. He is usually not as open as a woman is. That's why a child, when they get hurt, they're going to run to mommy to get some sympathy instead of running to daddy to tell him to walk it off and get back to what you were doing. Genesis 45, verse 1, "Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all who stood by him, and he cried out, 'Make everyone go out from me.' So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Does my father still live?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near to me.' So they came near. Then he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life.'" Can we say that? Can we, men, I'm talking to the men, can we say that? You know, one of the things that was hard for me last year, we lost Carol's mom. I lost two brothers. And my brother that was closest to me in age, and he was losing his mind. He didn't know who other people were, but he remembered me back from childhood. And one of the last things I remember him saying is, "Bruce, I love you. I've never thanked you enough. I hope before I die, I can say things like that to people. But friend, men, we need to learn to express our feelings. We learn balance from Joseph. Joseph was in the world, but not of the world. He had a great responsibility. He was a young man. He was responsible not just for the people of Egypt, but for everybody that was going to be coming to him for food. He didn't have a 9-to-5 job. He had a 24-hour-a-day job, a 7-day-a-week job. He was thrown into the middle of the most powerful country at that time. He was responsible for the survival of many nations. He had to learn balance. We see the providence that he learned. Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Genesis 39, 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So Joseph was up here at the pinnacle in Egypt, telling people what to do, come and go, what to do with the food, overseeing who came and went. He was next to Pharaoh at the top. But how did he get there? Was it by study and hard work? You have to go back to his brothers that hated him, sold him into slavery, wanted to kill him, having his boss's wife make advances to him and being thrown into prison, interpreting dreams, and all of these things, all of these bad things that happened. But you see the providence of God. You see his fingers. You see the handprints of God in the fingers bringing Joseph to this point that he had, the providence of God. And if we look in our lives, we can see it in our lives also. Sometimes it's the bad things, but they've all brought us to where we are today. And I was telling Carol, I was listening to somebody the other day, and the guy was talking, his father was going to turn 76, and it shows a difference in attitude. And he said, "Dad, how you doing?" "Well, I'm trying to hang on. I'm trying to hang on." And the son said, "Dad, you've lived 75 years. Look at the wealth of knowledge and experience you have. Those 75 years of knowledge and experience will make your 76th year your best year yet." And it just depends on how we look at things. And if we include God in our lives. But when we are following God, we see his providence. We might want to go down this road, and there's a detour sign or bridge out, and we have to go this other way. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that way. But he's leading us to where he wants us to be. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Friends, God was with Joseph, and God is with us if we are serving him. Some lessons from the life of Joseph. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning, you need to make correction in your life. You need to ask for prayers. You need to respond to the gospel invitation. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.